Hello and welcome to Healing from CPTSD. My name is Justin Vanderwind and I am your host. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about CPTSD, what it is, and what it's like to have it. If you haven't done so already, be sure to head over to our website at healingfromcptsd.com and sign up on our mailing list for regular updates, as well as a free weekly newsletter. The Healing from CPTSD course will also be officially launching on January 8th, 2022, so you'll want to join our mailing list as well to be first in line when the course launches. All links will be in the description below. All right, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Healing from CPTSD podcast. My name is Justin Vanderwind, and I am your host. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about what CPTSD is, and I'm also going to be sharing what it's like to deal with CPTSD on a regular daily basis. So some of you may be aware of what CPTSD is. Some of you may be new to this. In either case, I'm just going to kind of go over the basics of what CPTSD is, as well as, you know, the key characteristics of CPTSD. So CPTSD stands for Complex Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and fundamentally, it's a more extreme and intense form of PTSD. And, you know, really the difference, because people ask this sometimes, what's the difference between CPTSD and PTSD? Well, simply put, PTSD usually comes from experiencing or witnessing, you know, one particular really traumatic event, right? Like a 9/11, like if you were actually there when 9/11 happened and you witnessed all that, I'm sure a lot of those people that, you know, witnessed it and, you know, survived all that have a certain degree of PTSD or did have it, and maybe they've been able to work through it. CPTSD, on the other hand, is something, that you get it from. It's just like PTSD is just more intense. So you get it usually from prolonged periods of extreme stress, anxiety, and frankly different forms of abuse or neglect emotionally and psychologically, you know, in an environment in which escape is not possible, such as being in a prisoner of war camp or you know, having a really abusive childhood. For many of us, that means growing up with a narcissistic parent or two. So that's fundamentally what CPTSD is. I actually really like the term because it really nails my own personal experiences in that it really is like a stress disorder. You know, the core part of what I personally struggle with being someone with CPTSD is literally stress and my ability. You just got to understand, like, everyone goes through stress, right? Everyone, there's different stressful situations, whether, you know, work is stressful or varying degrees of stress. You know, maybe it's, you know, there's certain degrees of stress in your relationships and your home life and everything else. Some people are really able to handle extremely stressful situations, you know, like your nurses and doctors and people like that, police officers and stuff. And normally, I would argue normally if you're raised in a decent way and you don't have any damage done to you, a human being's ability to handle stress should be pretty decent unless they've been damaged or their nervous system sort of been overloaded in certain ways. Because for me, what I can say, you know, just from my own experiences, what I can say experientially is that it really feels like my nervous system's ability to handle too much stress is simply damaged and sort of fried, right? And even if I've tried to do it, right, and I have many, many times, I just kind of like, there's sort of like a progression of deterioration of my ability to cope and my ability to function to the point where most of the time, you know, growing up over the years, before I even found out about CPTSD, I would kind of isolate and I would shut down ultimately. Like that was usually what my coping mechanism was. Like I would just shut, almost like a computer that's had too much input or something's happened, it just freezes or shuts down, right? Because it can't handle any more input. And that's exactly, I think, what it's definitely what it feels like with CPTSD and trying to move through the world where everyone else is. And a lot of other people might see someone with CPTSD struggling to function and think, oh, you know, this person must just be lazy or just some kind of, you know, good for nothing loser or is kind of a weakling because they can't handle stressful situations. But what a lot of these people don't understand is that, you know, if someone's dealing with something like CPTSD, they're damaged. They are literally damaged. They're not bad people. They're not, and there's nothing really wrong with these people other than the fact that they've been damaged. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, you could say, well, there's something wrong with this person. It's like, well, that could mean a bunch of different things. In my opinion, you know, if somebody's like an active criminal or some kind of murderer or somebody who's really dark and abusive, there's something wrong with that person, right? If somebody's having trouble functioning, there's also something wrong with that person, but it's because they're damaged and there's, you know, they're not lazy. You know, they're struggling a lot more than your average person has to. And a lot of people, you know, society, this is one of the hardest parts about having CPTSD, is that society at large doesn't understand this. They don't acknowledge it. They don't even believe it half the time. Like, if I said, oh, I'm sorry about this, I have CPTSD and I need to leave work early or take a day off, or, you know, I need to just chill. People would say, oh, you're just, you know, you're not, you know, and I've had plenty of situations where I've left school and I've left jobs and relationships, just everything. And I still have people in my life that think I'm just some like lazy person or something, but, every day is a struggle for me, you know, and it's definitely gotten a lot better since I learned about CPTSD and I've been working on my healing and in different areas, but it's a lot, man. It's a, you know, dealing with CPD, it's heavy. It's a heavy, heavy condition to deal with because there's multiple facets. I mean, not only do I think a stress disorder really captures what this is, you know, being a stress disorder, but at the beginning of the term complex, that also kind of nails exactly what we have to deal with having. It's complex. You know, it's a complex situation. There's a lot of different moving parts. And it's complex to heal from it as well, which this course I'm putting together, which will be launching on January 8th of this coming year, 2022, I thought it would be a good time to, you know, start off the new year with something like that. It's going to be simplifying how to heal from CPTSD as much as possible, because honest to God, even if, you know, I'm a big fan of Pete Walker's book, I've mentioned that before and I'll continue talking about it, CPTSD From Surviving to Thriving, it's an amazing book. It's pretty long and there's a lot in there, you know, and so you read it and he'll tell you this is kind of like a roadmap for you to heal, but there's not really any, you know, you kind of, at first you're like really relieved to read something like this if you're not familiar with CPTSD and you feel like it kind of resonates with what you struggle with in your life. But then you're like, okay, where do we go from here, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many therapists I've gone to where it's like I had to find the problem and like bring the, you know, it's like, here, this is what's wrong with me. Can you help me as a mental health professional to like put something together so I can heal? And most of them just want to philosophize and eat candy or whatever that I've been to anyway. It's so crazy, man. But yeah, it's a really hard thing to deal with. It's really complex and it's complex to heal from. So my goal is to try to make that a little simpler for myself as well as for other people too, conceptually as well as experientially. So that's what the healing from CPTSD course is going to be all about. And I'm working on it as we speak, and I'm really happy with you know, what's coming out of it, how it's coming along. So, I can't wait to share it with you guys because, you know, obviously people with CPTSD need all the help they can get. So yeah, at the core of CPTSD, according to Pete Walker, there's five key characteristics, right? There's toxic shame, self-abandonment, social anxiety, emotional flashbacks, and a vicious inner critic. And it's so obviously, as you can see, there's a lot going on. And if you don't, you know, we just covered some terms there, but you may not even know what those mean sort of experientially, right? Like shame, like what does that really mean? I kind of have an idea, you know, someone might say I have an idea like of the definition, like intellectually, but emotionally, what is the experience of shame? And then what do I do about it? You know, it's like, where do we start? It's like, here's all your problems like dumped out in front of you. And then it's like, oh God, now we've got to like sift through all this and try to figure out how to like heal from all this. And, you know, so those are definitely the key characteristics of CPTSD. And so that's what people ultimately need to work on and heal in order to take their lives back and largely heal from CPTSD. I would say at the core of healing from CPTSD, as well as what Pete Walker has had to say about it. And Pete Walker is a therapist, but he's also had CPTSD himself. So He's great because he understands it from the inside out, and then he understands all the deeper, you know, mental health philosophy and all that. Relational, it's what you'd call an emotional attachment disorder, right? So you, it's like your ability to have open, authentic, fully trusting relationships, even just like with friends, with anybody really, is damaged, right? Like you don't even, many of us don't even know how to do it, but it's you just gotta think, like, you know, if your experiences of being emotionally open and vulnerable as a child or at some other point in your life was always shut down or ridiculed or abused in some way, your brain has, and it's not funny, but it's crazy, your brain sort of is conditioned to shut yourself down, like shut your heart down, shut your emotional self down, so that you're effectively like keeping yourself in a prison of sorts on the inside, because you've been taught and conditioned that it's dangerous to be vulnerable, right? It's dangerous to be who you are, or it's bad or something. You don't even really know what's going on when you're dealing with a personality disordered individual. You're just constantly rejected and shut down and ridiculed. So you don't even really know what's going on. Your brain just kind of takes over, and as a defense mechanism, it just shuts you down. And so your ability to trust people, your ability to open up with others, is greatly damaged. Many of us, myself included, don't even know how to do it, right? We have to like relearn, you know, these skills. But then the other thing is, you know, emotional flashbacks. You know, because when you're being vulnerable, it's in those moments of vulnerability and emotional openness and connection with others when you're young or at some other point in your life where you were abused or shut down or just completely rejected on many different levels, you kind of it's like extremely painful, and you can have sort of like crippling emotional flashbacks when you're trying to be vulnerable and open, right? So emotional flashbacks are the other main issue with people who have CPTSD. And so there's a lot of things in life that will like trigger these emotional flashbacks, and they're sort of non-visual flashbacks that are, you know, literally emotional flashbacks. And they're so overwhelming that for most of us, we don't even really know, like now that I know what it is and I have an emotional flashback, I can notice it and then soothe myself out of it. But before I knew, you know, I didn't even really know it was happening. It was just like everything was really overwhelming. Everything was really stressful and scary and dangerous. And I didn't know when these emotional flashbacks were going to take place. And so basically my entire life was just sort of shut down and isolated, right? Like, so for example, I mean, where are some situations in life where you have to be open and vulnerable and pretty much everywhere, right? Work, right? Talking to people, talking to fellow employees, dealing with fellow employees, dealing with, you know, customers or guests or, you know, people like that, dealing with bosses. In school, you're dealing with other students. You're having to be open and vulnerable in class. I remember having emotional flashbacks in classrooms because I was so terrified of, A, being called on by the teacher so that all the attention in the classroom would be on me, because it would trigger an emotional flashback, and I didn't understand what it was. You know what I mean? So I just tried to hide and, you know, like cover myself over as much as I could, or try to hide from being called on. And then obviously, you know, kids are cruel, man. You know, so it's really bad. It's a bad combo, man. Having CPTSD, especially as a kid going through school, and, you know, because people pick on people in general, but when you've got... You just got to understand, like, you're already dealing with extreme levels of rejection and shame and being shut down and put down at home if you got a narcissistic parent on your hand. But then, you know, that's all kids do, is just more rejection, more unbelievable levels of rejection that just cause more pain and more emotional flashbacks and just condition you more that people can't be trusted and then people are just terrible, horrible creatures, right? Like, and that's kind of what it's like. That's how it was for me. But, you know, you got to understand it's really the emotional flashbacks and things triggering them and not understanding A, what they are, B, what causes them, or C, how to stop them. And that was the big thing. So for me, my solution was I didn't know what else to do. I just shut everything out for the most part. I mean, I was completely withdrawn, completely isolated. I would basically just, you know, live in my room and then go to school and then come home. I had some friends and stuff, but, you know, mostly I was a very introverted, withdrawn, shut down kid. And the only time I felt safe is when nobody else was around and I was surrounded by four walls or was left completely alone. Because that, I mean, you got to understand, at the mental level, the brain can relax. Like because otherwise you're constantly sort of in fight flight mode. And then it's exhausting, right? It's just exhausting to have all that cortisol running through your system on a regular basis. I mean, my God, man. So by the time you get home from school, it's like, I don't even know what happened. I'm telling you, for real, like looking back, like most of my days in school, I'd come home and I don't even know what the hell happened, because my anxiety was so high and the emotional flashbacks, the fear, everything. And I was so sort of like shut down and like blocking everything out from the world around me because of the fear of emotional flashbacks, that my memories, I don't have, like, I remember being in school, but as far as the content of what the teacher was talking about, a lot of it, it's almost like the Peanuts, you know, that Peanuts cartoon where there's a teacher and it's like, wah, 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 wah. That's kind of what it was like for me, where it was like, I heard them talking, but it just wasn't getting in because my nervous system was on edge. I felt like I was on a battlefield, honestly, and I was just terrified and I didn't know how to deal with it or what was going on. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm explaining this because this is what CPTSD is like. This is just one example, right? Especially if you're a kid and you have no idea. You're just sort of in the dark emotionally and everywhere else. And it's just not, you're just like, really, you're just under nonstop, constant attack from all sides for many different reasons. It's horrible. You know what I mean? Like, imagine being in a war and you're not only under attack from the enemy, but you're under attack from your own troops too. Like, you're just on your own, like everybody's after you, like you don't know why, you don't know what the hell's going on. And usually your troops are going to be like your family or the people that are closest to you. If you've got, that's the problem, if you've got like narcissistic parents or whatever, or some toxic people, your quote people, your tribe, your family are attacking you, you know. So you really aren't safe. I mean, this isn't just something people made up in their minds, right? You know, so that's the reality that a lot of us have had to live. You know, I know I went off on a little bit of a tangent there, but the point was, the emotional flashbacks is what prevented me from really living my life and also being able to have open, healthy connections with people. And I swear to you, I know I've said this before, but man, I liked girls, right? And I had girlfriends, but I couldn't, it was so uncomfortable, you know, like trying to get close to them or trying to forget about, like, you know, especially when I was a teenager or something, or like you're just starting to learn how to make out with people. Forget about social anxiety. I mean, that was just part of the mix. You know what I mean? Which I'm glad. That's why when I found out about those five key characteristics of CPTSD, social anxiety is on the list, but it's just one aspect of it. There's a lot more going on. So the emotional flashbacks, the fear of, you know, no one wants to be rejected in general, but when you have CPTSD, it's like you're traumatized from rejection that you're already going through on a regular basis. And so any other form of rejection could not only be painful, but actually trigger a really painful emotional flashback that you don't know how to stop, that you don't know how to control. And so the only way to feel safe was to, again, just for me, shut everything down, which I was like the freeze isolating type. And so it made it, and it was horrible for me, you know, because I couldn't connect with anybody, really, you know. And even with my friends, I always felt like I was not in alignment with who I really was. I always felt like I was sort of having to hide myself or put on a mask or something. And the reason I was doing that was because my real self was, I was just keeping my real self safe. But I did it for so many years, I like lost touch with myself. It's terrible. So crazy. It's so unbelievable. Like what I'm just describing to you here, if you've got CPTSD, I'm sure you can relate to this on some level, but this is some crazy stuff. I mean, this is extreme. Most people don't have to deal with this type of life. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Like, they don't have any clue. They have no idea that there's people out there struggling with this type of stuff. Then, as I've always said, you know, I was going to the mental, you know, all kinds of therapists in high school and middle school, and they weren't able to help me. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. So, you know, getting over CPTSD at the core, really, it can be done, which I'm happy to be able to say, and I was happy to learn it too, that it can fundamentally mostly be gotten over because it's a stress disorder, and you can heal yourself, learn how to regulate your emotions, and then recondition yourself to, you know, for one thing, recognize and soothe emotional flashbacks when they happen so that they become, and Pete Walker has said they don't really ever truly 100% go away, but it becomes far more manageable and easier and quicker to move through them when you're aware of them, and then you can soothe yourself through them. Oh my God, what a relief. For me anyway, when I learned how to do that. And then, you know, creating what's called an earned secure attachment, which this could be with a loved one, a family member, somebody who's safe, a therapist, where you actually are able to open up and be vulnerable in any emotional state, right? So happy, sad, angry, just being able to open up. That's really what it is. And to trust someone on an emotional level enough to open up around them without having, you know, an emotional flashback. So, I would argue you've got to learn how to recognize and stop emotional flashbacks, because when you try to become vulnerable with people, you will have them, even if you're like with a therapist or something, like maybe your heart starts racing or you get really keyed up and on edge. And so it's possible. It's difficult. It's painful, but it's definitely possible. And I'm so relieved. My God. You have no idea how much I just wanted to like jump off a bridge for so many, you know, I know. I hope that's not triggering for anybody, but my God, man, like I just wanted it to be over. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't my life so much as the pain and the extreme pain and the insanity and the multiple levels of pain that I was having to be subjected to on a regular basis. I mean, it was really like pure hell. It was like multiple levels of hell all happening at the same time. And it was just absolutely horrible. So over the years, it's gotten a lot better. I was someone who was like vigilant and almost obsessed with finding solutions and healing and ending my own pain and suffering. And, you know, because I didn't want to, you know, people were like, oh, he's weird because he can't connect well, or he's, you know, my go-to for deflection and stuff would be like humor or cracking jokes or whatever, as I've said before. But a lot of times I just wasn't, you know, I kind of like kept people at arm's length, right? I didn't know what else to do. Or I would sabotage certain relationships, or, you know, I would just sort of, it almost seemed like, sometimes I would think about this, it almost seems like I was experiencing rejection from so many different people for so many different reasons that I didn't understand, and it was so confusing and so painful that it's almost like my brain somewhere in the subconscious decided that if I could control why they rejected me, at least I would understand why. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but it was like psychologically easier if, for example, like I broke up, a girlfriend broke up with me because I started being like an asshole or something. Like, I'm like, oh, that's why she broke up with me, so I can I have some sense of control. I wouldn't tell her that, but that's, you know, I would like sort of sabotage certain things on purpose. So I had an idea of why I was being rejected, because for many of us dealing with CPTSD, we struggle with this inner, like this gnawing sensation in our mind, like this obsessive, you know, sort of thought processes of we're being rejected and rejected and rejected for many different reasons, and we don't know why. And it's horrible. It's so horrible. And the truth is, you really don't know why. If you've got this from a narcissist, it's so crazy. Dealing with a narcissist is so crazy that your brain has no way to know what to do or what not to do to prevent the rejection from happening. So you have no idea. You don't know what to do. That's kind of what it's like for someone dealing with CPTSD also. So I kind of would, you know, sabotage certain things on purpose later on in my life just to get people like, I know this sounds terrible, but I got so fed up with humans, like people treating me like garbage all the time, that I just started like almost like an animal in nature, like a skunk or something that just has like a natural defense of like some kind of odor, so other animals just naturally want to go away from that animal. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'd say something rude or snarky to get people. It was like almost more comfortable for people not to like me or to hate me than it was to like me or love me. Because if they liked me or loved me, I wouldn't know why, and I also wouldn't know when their rejection would come or what it was about me that would cause them to reject me. So it was just easier for people to hate me. I know it's horrible. It's twisted. It's messed up. But that's kind of like how I lived, honestly. So yeah, I mean, I've described some of the ways that it's been tough to deal with CPTSD, but if I'm thinking back, for me, it's really kind of like destroyed my entire life. I mean, my ability to just be myself was significantly damaged. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to be vulnerable. I didn't know what my emotional self was, my emotional needs were. I was shut down, withdrawn, cut off from people. Even if I had friends, it wasn't, I don't know. I always just felt like I had like some hazmat suit on, or I was like experiencing life behind some kind of plexiglass. Like I wasn't fully present or fully really there. I always felt like I was like observing my life from behind, like, I don't know, some wall, or like I was in a, like, you know, those movies like E.T. or something, where you see those scenes where like some kid has a whole bunch of stuffed animals in his closet or her closet, and it's like some of those stuffed animals are really just like stuffed back in there, and they can't breathe or see or anything. That's kind of how I felt always. Like I felt completely invisible. Like I just felt everything that you wouldn't want to feel, you know. I never felt seen or heard. I never felt loved or safe. I always felt like, I was in hell, and I had no idea why or what was going on. It seemed like everyone hated me, and it was just horrible, you know? And the truth is, like, you know how some people say, well, if nobody likes you, it must be you that's the problem. That applies to some people. But there are cases, and this is one of the saddest parts about CPTSD, is like there's a lot of cases where like somebody's just having trouble functioning or connecting, and they're not doing anything. Like, it is them, but not in a bad way. It's just them because they don't know how else to function or behave, and they're just automatically getting all this rejection, and nobody's really there to help them or to heal them or to, you know, support them in a real way. So it's like, forget about a double-edged sword. Again, to me, it's like just multiple levels of hell. And yeah, girlfriends, relationships, my ability to hold down jobs, my ability to have friends. I mean, I had friends, but I don't know. I'd always like, I'm one of those people that would just want to like always disappear, or just kind of cut people off or unplug or something. And so I would do that periodically. And I don't know. I'm like obsessed with isolation. It's getting better. But honestly, like, you know, the other sad part is, you know, when you deal with narcissists or narcissistic abuse and you've got CPTSD, you have definitely seen firsthand sort of the underbelly of not only society, but of human beings and human nature and what human beings are truly capable of. And you know firsthand from first-hand experience that there's a lot of monsters out there. And I'm talking about in the form of human beings, right? Like, we've seen the insanity, we've seen the nightmares. Unfortunately, we know that nightmares are real, you know? And they come in the form of narcissists or psychopaths or sociopaths and people that present themselves one way to public and to the family, and are kind of like monsters behind the scenes. You know, all kinds of manipulation and psychological games and emotional abuse and all that stuff. That's real. You know what I mean? And we've seen it. And so it becomes harder. Even if, to me, it's like I've definitely done work on like my relational skills and my ability to be vulnerable and open up and stuff. But I'd be lying if I said I'm not the life of the party. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still not, I really like my alone time. I really need my space. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of us who deal with CPTSD. Again, like the mental health field couldn't help me. It was really like a nightmare. It was almost like a horror movie, but it was just my life. You know, like, you know, it's the narcissist is like Freddy Krueger or something. It's horrible. Like, and then nobody believes you, and you're in this kind of like world all by yourself, and it's just horrible. And oh my God, man. So yeah, it's just been horrible. I mean, the easiest way to say it is my life was just completely put on hold and destroyed. I'm happy that I learned as much as I did, and I've made as much progress as I did, because I think it may be possible for me to, you know, sort of like heal to the point where maybe I get like a healthy relationship down the line, or maybe I can start a family or something like that if I want to. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to completely, I'm one of those people who's just going to have to completely walk from my entire family and just kind of reboot an entirely new life, you know, with, oh my God, like I just can't believe it. Like I can't believe how hard it's been just for me all by myself, like using all my mind and my heart and my soul to do all this, to find out what CPTSD is and then heal from it and try to survive and struggle. And I know that for so many people out there, they're just sort of like lost and stuck. So, you know, that's why I'm here talking about this, because I know how painful it is, but I know how like it's almost like impossible to get your life back or to try to get some semblance of joy or normalcy in your life. So yeah, it's been like pure hell for me. I know a lot of other people, you know, I have had some narcissistic girlfriends, but again, I grew up with my narcissist, so it's a little bit of a different ball game than I see a lot of people in groups that are struggling with narcissistic boyfriends or girlfriends, and it's like all new to them. That's like a whole different group of people, because those of us who've been dealing with this since like birth, we can see that stuff coming to mind. Even if you don't 100% know what narcissistic personality disorder is or CPTSD, you know, we can see some of this stuff. Our instincts will kick in when some of those people pop up again. But, you know, another thing I'd kind of like to talk about is why the mental health field has not been able to address these issues. I mean, to me, it's crazy. I don't really get it. That's one of the things that's absolutely most confounding to me, most confusing to me, and really infuriating, is that the mental health field, from what I've seen, seems to have no real way to see emotional and psychological trauma or how to help people deal with it. Or CPTSD, I mean, you know, it is becoming more of a, it's sort of a newer diagnosis in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Health, but at the same time, it's like, why? I don't understand. We're in the 21st century now. We're 20 years into the 21st century. So what, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand how trauma and abuse and all this stuff has gone so overlooked by the mental health field and what's going on there. I think it's really suspicious. I think it's very weird. I think there's no way this needs to be this hard. I mean, again, you should be able to be like, okay, I've dealt with emotional trauma. I should be able to flip open the yellow pages or go on Google and find a therapist and go heal. Like, you should be able to do that as far as I'm concerned, but we weren't able to do that. And, you know, I've never seen a therapist that knew what CPTSD was. I know I've heard people that have found some that know what it is, but I don't know if their methods are really that effective. I still don't really get it. But, you know, that's another reason why I've decided to make this podcast and stuff, is that it's not just for people struggling with CPTSD, but it's really for the world in general and also the mental health field to understand the realities of CPTSD and narcissistic abuse. How many people go through this and struggle with it, and how many people are just sort of struggling and suffering almost in the silence because nobody believes them, nobody cares about them in a real way, and they don't know what to do. It's horrible. You know, even it's like most people, even if they wanted to go to a therapist or some group, they wouldn't, and if they were dealing with CPTSD, they still wouldn't probably get the help that they need, right? So, I don't know, the mental health field, I really think that those of us who struggle with CPTSD and who have this firsthand experience, there should be some kind of, I don't know, like, new mission where therapists come together with survivors of this stuff who have firsthand experience of this and who can kind of, like, see that, have gotten their, you know, gotten out of it, so that the mental health field can have a much better understanding of not only what this is, but how to heal from it and to help people take their lives back and to have a, you know, a new awareness of this all over the world. I mean, if someone says, I'm struggling with narcissistic abuse, I don't want to live in a world where nobody knows what that is. Or you just get like this blank stare from people, or people try to somehow put you down or spin things around so that you're the bad person, you know, because people are just walking around. God only knows how many people are walking around on this planet that are struggling with complex trauma, that don't know what it is and are just struggling and suffering every day and don't realize they don't need to be, and are just, you know, everybody, what is society's message to people? Be quiet, let the past go, you know, let water, you know, whatever they say, it's water under the bridge, or, you know, and really what it is ignoring and suppressing and denying actual emotional pain and actual emotional issues that are still there. you know, when you do that, there's a certain degree of sort of like dissociation from your core self. I mean, you gotta process what's in you, like what happened to you, in order to be whole and happy and free. You can't bury it. You can't suppress it. So, you know, that's kind of another reason why I'm making this podcast, is because, you know, emotional, I don't know. Some people have really good emotional intelligence and awareness, but it's we're living in a world where it seems to be like, you know, humanity's made a lot of progress sort of like intellectually and with technology and stuff like that. But even amongst like actual doctors and a lot of professional people, I've just seen so many people who have such a low sense of like emotional awareness of themselves and others. It's just mind-blowing to me. I think we should change that, honestly. I mean, people should know what their needs are, what they really feel, how to express it in a healthy way, and how to communicate with others in a healthy way, and so that people are happy and free and feel safe and can get their needs met, and so that they can heal and process any trauma or anything else that comes up in their life. So, yeah, CPTSD is like pure hell. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It's been like the bane of my existence. I'm happy to have learned about what it is and to be, you know, getting through it. And, you know, I looked back the other day of the key developmental arrests of CPTSD and sort of like where I used to be and where I am now in certain areas. And I was amazed to find that I have made tremendous progress by working on myself in each of these areas consciously over the years, to the point where, for example, like my vicious inner critic is pretty much gone. Like, I don't, even if it pops in, right? Like, I know how to recognize it and counter it with more like self-soothing talk and self-compassion almost automatically now. I'm not saying it's 100% completely gone, the inner critic, that is, but it definitely is tamed. And I am aware of it. I'm aware of when it's running, and I can stop it. My social anxiety is pretty much totally gone. My ability to recognize, stop, and move through emotional flashbacks is. I'm not going to say I can't really remember the last time I had an emotional flashback, but I've noticed, I've been in moments where I felt them happening because something was happening in my, you know, general environment that I was in, and I recognized it, and I was able to stop it and soothe myself as it was happening. So I could, and I felt much better. Like, I like rebounded really quick. So I was like, man, that's amazing. I'm so happy. You know, there's always still stuff to work on, right? I would say shame is probably still an issue for me. I'm able to be more vulnerable and way more vulnerable and open than I used to be, for sure. And I've learned a lot of things that I neglected and, you know, to learn because of fear and stuff too. So I've made tremendous progress. So I definitely know it's possible. Unfortunately, you're going to have to be your own main champion, but you know, I'm just another voice out here too. That's kind of like a champion for you, to give you some support, you know, moving through this. So I'm happy to be able to do this and to be here with you and to share with you ultimately, you know, in January of 2022, this course that has helped me tremendously. Yeah, so I just wanted to share a little bit about what CPTSD is, to clarify a little bit for anybody who's not aware, and to kind of share some insights of what it's like to have CPTSD. You know, if you're interested in checking out Pete Walker's book from, you know, CPTSD, From Surviving to Thriving, that'll be, I'll actually always have that in the description below of the podcast, or if you're listening to this on YouTube or something, so you can access it. That's really the main source, as far as I'm concerned, currently in our world, as far as understanding CPTSD and all of its dynamics and stuff. So definitely check that out if you haven't yet. And I think that's pretty much it for today's episode. I hope you all are doing well. And if you haven't joined us yet in our, we have a Facebook group, Healing from CPTSD. I'm getting more, it's tiny and growing, but, more and more people are finding us, I guess, because of the podcast. So, you know, you can head on over there. We've got a safe community, and you're able to speak mostly freely with all the censorship going on these days. I mean, the last thing, you know, people dealing with CPTSD have been shut down and censored so much of their lives that, you know, I'm a big believer that part of people's healing of CPTSD is being able to speak freely without worrying about being shut down or censored. So that's what's unique about our group. I'm not going to nitpick everything people say. People need to learn you know, and experience what it's like to be open and honest and authentic. So, you know, sometimes you're going to have some bad feelings that you need to express, and that's perfectly fine in our group. So anyway, I hope you all are doing well, and I will see you in the next episode. Take care.